Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you. You have tuned into Matters of the Heart. This is Pastor Prophetess Royal Poinciana Sprewell, and I am so happy that you have decided to join me on this morning. For those of you that are tuning in on the East Coast, I know that it is just a minute or so past midnight. So I know that it's the hours late, but there's no other time. I feel like especially to give God honor and to give him praise in that midnight hour. Something about the midnight hour. Even though it's not quite midnight here where I am, I still know that the midnight is something about midnight. Paul and Silas were freed from jail at midnight when they cried and praised God and gave him glory. So I want to encourage you on today that no matter what's going on in your life, and first of all, we have to always remember to be positive. Remember I talk about having faith constantly, how you have to trust God and how you have to believe the Lord regardless to what you see, and that you cannot go by the things that you see, but you have to trust in the Lord, because our faith, we walk by faith and not by sight, and we trust God for the things that we don't see, the invisible, intangible things that are not visible with the naked eye. If we could go back and say, oh, I'm trusting God because of this, I'm trusting God because of that, you have to get to the place where you say, no, I trust God because I don't see anything, because I trust him just because he's God, because I know that he's the creator of the universe. And if you can look around and you can just see his handiwork and his glory everywhere and everything you see, just to know that it wouldn't be in existence if it wasn't for him. The craftsmen, the everything that you have in your surrounding, in your home, it is all because God's power and his plan and his purpose is being in fruition. God allows things to happen for a reason. We don't know why certain things happen the way that they do, especially in our lives when we don't understand certain circumstances and we wonder why we have to go through certain things. And sometimes it seems like we go the long route. Why we couldn't, I recall my pastor, my former pastor, the great late pastor, prophetess, Clara Strong. She used to say this. She used to say that she didn't understand why it seemed like when she was ministering, when she was preaching, and when she was going through various things in life, it seemed like she had to always go up the stairs. And she said she had a dream where she saw everybody else. She looked, they were going up the elevator. She said, but she's going up flights of stairs. And she's like, well, Lord, why I can't go up the elevator? Why everybody else look like they ahead of me? They going up the elevator so fast, but it looked like I got to go to backwoods and get to the staircase. And I learned this in life, is that one thing I can understand about what Pastor was saying is that when she went through those trying times, she got some intangible information. She got some intangibles. She learned some lessons that she could have never learned if she would have took the elevator, which is the easy way, which was a representation of the easy way, that people get to go the easy way. You know, it's no sweat. It's no drain. It's no energy taken when you just walk a couple feet and you just sit there and relax against the back of the wall in the elevator and you just riding. Right? But if you got to walk, and oh God, when you get up that first flight and you got to walk up the second flight, and you start saying, oh my goodness, am I going to ever get? And sometimes I do that. I don't go a lot of places where a whole lot of stairs are like that. But if I do get to a building, I do try to use the stairs at times, because I know that when you do take the elevator. They always say our steps add up, and the more steps that we take, especially throughout the day, it's better for us because it pushes us, it pushes our endurance, it helps us with our energy level. It also helps us with our overall weight. So those things are intangible, those things that we ought to incorporate within our daily lives. One thing I do constantly, and I learned this through school, through my health class, is to make sure that when you're walking, especially like at the going to the store, and I talked about this before, those of you who have listened to the broadcast faithfully, I talk about how you should park a little further off and make sure it's in, of course, a lighted, safe place, but you are to walk a little park a little further so you can walk a little further to whatever destination where you are, because those extra steps actually count up at the end of your day, whether you realize it or not, they do in your overall exercise step count. So I'm saying this, that even though you got to walk those extra steps in life, at the end of the day, they're going to pay off. And so it might seem like you're exerting a lot of energy and it's taking some out of you. And believe me, I know and I do understand. But if you listen to what the prophetess is telling you on tonight, you'll realize that if you think about those situations that you've been through where you did have to take the stairs, it's something in that that you learned. It's something in that that is that's priceless. You couldn't even pay for that. School can't teach you that. You see what I'm saying? It don't matter how many degrees you have, how many hats you're wearing. That's something that you learned that nobody could tell you about. And you've got the information that you can help somebody else. So you've got to keep going and you've got to keep pressing your way. I can't talk enough about that. I cannot talk enough about having endurance, having faith, trusting God, believing God, standing on His word, no matter what's going on, because we all have situations and things in our life that we're believing God for. I don't care who you are. I don't care how much money you make. It doesn't matter, because it's people that's billionaires that got big problems. So it's not about money and finances, because money cannot buy you happiness. Money cannot buy you peace of mind. Don't they tell you, have you ever heard when they say more money, there are more problems? So I'm trying to tell you that money can never suffice happiness. True happiness, that's why I said you have to have, I'm getting to my message already. You have to have a connection with God. You've got to have a relationship with the Lord. And one thing I did find out, and no matter how many men I've slept with, how many men I've been with in my life, how many men I thought that loved me and found out they didn't, and how many men I loved on them and found out that that wasn't worth it, no relationship can take the place of the, and I was telling the Lord this today, I said, it's nobody like you in my life. There's never been nobody like you. I love you to the core of me because you are all I have. When you find out and you realize that you get to the place, it doesn't matter. I understand you love your wife. I understand you love your husband. You love them kids of yours. But they never can take the place of the relationship you have with God. I heard my cousin some years ago. She has a different perspective now. But she talked about how she loved her kids. She could never put nobody before her kids. She couldn't put God before her kids. And I said, wow, and I was a young girl at the time when she said it, and I looked at her like, is she crazy? You know, I had to be about 14 years old, you know, and I just thought she had lost her mind when she said that. And that just irked me even then, you know, must have been the prophet in me. But I said, you know what, that's bonkers, because we got to understand that we would not be anything. You know, the breath that we breathe come from God. Through the generations of Adam and Eve, how can you say that you can put somebody before the man that is allowing you to breathe every day? Come on here. I'm trying to tell you that Jesus said, love thy God with all of thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul, with everything that is
within you, love ye him, because it is he that has given us the breath that we breathe in our body. It is him that orchestrates. If you allow him, remember I talked about allowing Jesus to be. Let me tell you something. It didn't matter. I talked to the Lord all the time. I talked to him because it's the relationship. It's the relationship. It's the relationship. You've got to have the connection. Oh, you know, when I came on air, I was telling my mother that I was so tired and I was thinking about canceling the show. And I said, you know what? I said, that's all right. I said, I'm going to push myself because I'm doing so many various things. Y'all already know. And I said, I'm going to push myself. I said, because I know that I've got to release a word and I've got to stay the course. And you've got to be persistent no matter how tired you are, no matter how you don't feel like it. That's why I get up and I do the Boss Millionaire Maker Show at 4 o'clock my time in the morning. I push myself because when you do and you do things that other folks don't do, other things that other folks don't have will start to come into fruition. It's going to be the things that you do that are out of the extraordinary that's going to take you to the top. I guarantee you if you listen to me. So what I'm saying is, it's all about having relationship with God. When you have a relationship with God, I've learned that when you have a relationship with someone, you don't want to hurt them if you really love them. If you're in love with someone and you really care about their feelings, you're careful at what you say to them and you're careful at the things that you do. And I realized that when it comes to Jesus and my relationship, even though various men have tried to win me over and ask me up for dates and stuff like that and try to holler at me, I realized that that's not worth it. I don't have time for what I consider nonsense. I don't have time to play games because, see, what God has brought me out of and the experiences that I've had, I don't have time to go back in the world and play games. I don't do that. I value my relationship with Jesus because he is my father. And don't you know how Jesus loved God? I can understand now. I mean, I'm nowhere, of course, not on his level, but I can understand how when he saw the women in Jerusalem and the beautiful women that was, and come on now, I know the Lord. He was fine now. Jesus was handsome. And he was on the earth, and he could have had him some women if he wanted to. Come on, I'm talking real to you on this morning, but I'm letting you know that his relationship with his father meant it more to him than any woman could ever mean. So he valued relationship, not just because he, don't you understand when Satan came to him and told him, turn these rocks into bread. Oh, y'all got me preaching on this morning. He said, look, you can do this. You got the power to do this. This is nothing to you. You can cast yourself down from here. This is nothing for you. You can bow down and worship me. This is nothing to you. But let me say one thing to you. Jesus understood his place. He understood Hanasaya. He understood where his ranking was in heaven. He sits in the right hand side of the Father. And no matter, even though, see, I'm explaining something to you. Even though he was not in his original state on earth, he yet knew who he was. And that's what I'm trying to explain to you on this morning. If you understand who you are in God, if you understand your placement, if you understand your destiny, if you understand your purpose, if you understand who you are in God, then these minor things that Satan bring your way as far as opportunity that he consider, which are flagrant, you won't even fall into these traps because you will realize who you are. And when you once you get to the place in your mind when you know who you are. He can't trick you. See, that's what I'm trying to tell you. You'll say, no, I'm not falling for that. He's not getting me with that one because I know who I am. I'm way beyond that. I'm more valuable than that. I'm at a greater level in God than that. See, remember I talked about going from glory to glory, going from level to level, how that you not just evolve as a person, but your mindset change. The way that you think, the way you even process information has changed. You don't even think the same way no more because that's why the Bible says when you come into Christ, you are a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You are new all over from the top to the bottom. You walk and you smell like newness. I'm telling you that you've got to understand who you are in God. And these things, that's going to take you to the next level. And that's what I want you to get a hold to as who you are, your place, and the things that you want to do, who you want to become, what the type of person you want to evolve in. You should see yourself and you should reevaluate from an outside perspective. You should look at yourself and say, you know what? Do I like or I don't like the person that I see? But you have to see yourself as others see you. And we all have things that we could do where we could rectify some things and bring changes in our lives. And it doesn't take a rocket science to figure it out. It's only an airhead or a person that's totally bonkers or they're full of themselves that can't even see their own mistakes. That's a foolish man. But we have to recognize that those things that are causing us, that are sore in the eyes of others, those things that are what we consider help me, Holy Ghost. Those things that are considered thorns in our side, we need to pluck them out. Thank you, Holy Ghost, for that. I'm telling you that when you get to a certain level in God, you don't even, your appetite is different. See, I could not be enticed to go to the club because I have no taste for the club. Period. That's so far-fetched from my mind because one thing this is funny. This was a gentleman that I was engaged to a few years back. He told me this is when I really started to realize that we weren't on the same page. See, you got to have commonality in a relationship. So when he told me this, it made me think. Now, see, my husband ain't rap like that. So what are you saying? He tells me that he thought it was of God to be able to go in the club, pass out flies, and talk to the center folks. So I said, so you gonna sit there and talk to them while they sipping on Ciroc, huh? Okay, they in the mindset to talk to you about God while they turning up, listening to whomever, Lil Wayne or Drake or whoever they listening to, and they just going to be bobbing their head, drinking their Ciroc, talking to you about getting saved right there, huh? We've got to learn. That makes me laugh because we've got to learn wisdom, y'all. And I've heard folks that them people now thinking about you, they in the club. You understand? They turning up. They not thinking about you or thinking about worshiping God or any of that because they got their mindset. Now, okay, I hear some of you, those on the other end, and I say, well, what if they coming out the club? Well, you got to think about that too. If you're coming out the club, you're already lit. You see what I'm saying? And your mindset is halfway gone when you talking anyway, especially the people that come out there drunk. Cause half the folks come out club drunk, you know that. Come on, I'm just keeping it 100 with you. If you want to get to people, you've got to get them while they have a sober mind. All that is a world of enticement. You're putting yourself in the devil's territory, and we don't never want to do that. I don't know why I went there. But I just want to say that you want to make sure that you staying in the right place, that you have the right perspective in life, that you are making sure that you're staying in your lane, as people say. Stay in your lane. Stay in your lane. If you don't, that's why you playing with the devil's territory, and it ain't cute. You're going to get sucked in. You can't go over there and preaching at other folks' house and they getting turned up drinking and smoking and doing all kind of stuff like that, and you over there talking about some, you preaching them, giving them the word, giving the gospel, and you know that you used to smoke. You're going to end up smoking right with them. I'm talking about reefer. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I'm keeping it 100 with you. These are the things that you've got to understand. You've got to realize that when you are changed and when you have become a new creature and in Christ, you don't do these things. You don't go these places no more. That's why we lift up holy hands before God. That's why we, you know, and then they might talk about you, say, well, you're boring, you're a square. No, it's a lot of things that you can do in ministry, in your church. Your church has events, and you can do a lot of stuff with your family. It's a lot of stuff you can do by yourself. See, I'm a type of person, I'm like my mother. My mother can go anywhere, and she can have fun all by herself. I don't call my mama. My mama was at the movie theater, okay, baby, chilling, having a good old time right by herself. And I'm telling you, I'm that same type of person. You know, like, I don't need people to have fun with. That's why I was the life of the party at the club when I'm keeping it 100 when I was there, because everybody wanted to get in my circle because I'm the party. You've got to learn to be the person where you can enjoy yourself. I said that to say this. When you learn to enjoy yourself, you bring your own happiness in God, okay? God will show you how to bring happiness. I'm just as peaceful and content as ever. Listen, I'm at the point I said, well, Lord, I know he showed me. I know who my husband is. I said, but when that time comes, that's fine. But if it never do, so be it. You know why? Because I'm content with myself. I'm happy with myself. Of course, everybody desire to have somebody. Of course they do. But the point of the matter, I'm saying, well, God, if it be your will that I never do, I'm still all right with that because I love you. And if you, I'm going to do your will regardless. I'm not going to let nobody and nothing stop me from doing and my purpose. You know, what were you born to do? I'm born to win. I'm born to do the things that God has called me to do, to orchestrate order in his house, which is the church of God. Didn't he say that he's not coming with a bride? You got to have, he can't have no wrinkles, it can't have no blotches, it can't have no spots, it can't have no wrinkles. It's got to be pure, holy, and white garment, pressed. Oh, come on here, prophetess. I'm preaching on this morning, but I'm letting you know that if you get to the place where you say, I want to be like him, the more that you get that mindset, the more that you say, I wanna function in my life, I wanna idle my life like the Lord. And there's a lot of things sometimes and stuff in life where some situations you look at and you say, Lord, I do need help with this. I'm struggling. Remember how Paul talked about that this thing was a sword to him. It was basically a thorn, what he was going through in his life, and he asked God, could you take this from me? Sometimes there are things in people's lives that have been thorns in their sides, and they continue to fall away into that. But one thing I can let you know, that Jesus is a deliverer. If you want to be delivered, he will deliver you. I can't say what Paul's issue was because I have no idea. The Bible does not state. But one thing I can let you know, that if you continue to seek the Lord for something, especially if it's something that's causing you to fall in sin, the Lord will deliver you. I know for a fact, because I used to be the slipping and sliding this person you ever seen. Every time they turn around, you don't backslid again. You back in the church, you out the church, in the church, out the church, in the church, out the church, in the church, out the church. No. You got to get some stability and some stableness. And when you get there, when you have arrived, you still have to grow. You still have to let go of things that are worldly, things, ways of thinking, stuff. You know, I was listening today. You know, I love music. I love music. I love older music, good old music, music from my day. I don't listen to that stuff. I'm not on listen to rap and stuff like that. That's not my thing. I don't do that. But some of the old songs that I used to hear, I like some of those songs. And I ask God, am I supposed to be even listening to that when it come on, whatever, you know? I'm not sitting up there deliberately playing it. But if I hear it on TV or something like that, or somebody play it, I might bounce my head to a little bit or something like that. And I say, you know, but I say, you know, some things, I say, nope, that's a little bit too worldly. Nope, you ain't gonna do that. And then you got some of those good old songs that just, you know, get down to your soul. And you say, yeah, I remember that as a kid or something like that. But the point I'm making is we have to always check ourselves and make sure, are we, it's always a boundary to things, you guys. And you know that when you start doing one thing, it can open the door and lead to another. You see what I'm saying? So you have to be careful of what you do, because that's all it takes is one little thing to take you back. You see what I'm saying? Then you find yourself wanting to do something else, and then you're doing something else. The next thing you know, you're way out on a limb because you're doing stuff that you had no business doing in the first place. So I'm going to get a little bit into the word, and I want y'all to bear with me because I'm going to have me a drink of water. Thank you. I appreciate y'all that for doing that. I don't have my intro or outro, and I don't have my break music in yet, but I will definitely do that. Well, y'all bear with me. I'm going to get ready to get in the Word of God, and I'm coming from John, the 15th chapter. And this is a little bit getting into my Word, so y'all bear with me. This is Jesus talking. You know, every time we read in the Bible where we see the red print, we know that is specifically from the Lord. And when we look at the Word of God, we ought to always really try to get a critically think, like really deep and depthly think about what is the Lord really saying. Because sometimes we figure like, oh, we know the word, or that's simple. But in our actuality, we'll find out that. I'll tell you one thing. I'll say it this way. Have you ever read a passage in the Bible and you have read that passage several times, and then you'll read it one day and it'll be something totally different that'll jump out at you, and you'll be like, oh, wow, I never thought of it that way. Uh-huh. That's what happens. So I'm going to start off at the first verse, and it says, I am the true vine. Okay, I want to give you a little meaning of the vine. We already know that most grapes are grown on a vine. And a vine, okay, I want to tell you something, a plant that has very long stems, right? So if it's a plant that has long stems, and you know a vine can grow all the way up. I remember in the house that we stayed in when I was a teenager, it had vines and a grapevine, and the vines would grow all upside the house. So a vine can go far and wide. And I think that's what Jesus was saying. Like, I'm the vine. I go far and wide. And he stretches. And this is what he's saying. And for his people, listen. And my Father is the husbandman. Now, a lot of people think of husbandman and get the concept that it's a husband. But a husbandman is a worker in basically the land or field, which is basically a farmer, somebody that cultivates the earth, cultivates the land, making sure that those vegetables, those fruits, all the different things that they have planted are growing properly, and that they're not getting eaten up by the other animals, and that they're being protected and that sort of thing. So he's just basically the person that's like the shepherd, making sure that the sheep aren't getting eaten by the wolves, right, to protect it. And that's what he's saying, like God is the person he cultivates. He is over all of this. This like I was talking about earlier, the world belongs to God. But Jesus gives him the respect to show, look, this is how I sit under God. I have a lot of problem, too, with a lot of churches that say that God and Jesus are the same person. That's not accurate.
when Jesus was getting baptized, God opened up the heaven and he spoke, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased." He spoke to him. They say that Jesus comes sits on the right-hand side of God. It didn't say that he retakes his seat in heaven. It says he sits on the right-hand side of God. So all of these ideologies and philosophies that people have intertwined and have basically got confused. They have got confounded, as the word says. They have taken on a theology and a thought of their own. That's why you have to read the word for yourself. It's a lot of, I could go from religion to religion. I mean, from doctrine to doctrine. And it's so much fallacy. But the word of God is true. All you have to do, all the different denominations, all you got to do is read the word. Those that don't believe in baptism, all you got to do is read the word. Don't you know that the Holy Ghost wouldn't even fall on certain people that until they were baptized? I'm talking about in water, not in spirit. Because we know that the baptism of the Holy Ghost is baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's the spirit. It's not the water. And certain people feel you don't have to be immersed in water. But Jesus himself was baptized. You think Jesus needed to be baptized by John? Are you serious? Don't you know that he did that as an example to show us, as demonstrating how he wanted us to do things? We have to learn to read and follow this word. This word will lead and guide us into all truth. I don't even want to get to going there. Let me stop. Okay. "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away." So Jesus saying that all the fruit, I'm going to read it one more time so y'all can get it. "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away." Why did I read that twice? Because he explained every branch that is in me. What does that mean? He's saying everybody that's in my house that's claiming, and I talked about how people, he talked about how people have been claiming to be a part of his house who are not. He's saying that every branch that's in me, he's talking about all the people who claim, so-called claim to be Christians, but they're not, because of the things I just talked about earlier, because they're not living the lifestyle. They're not living a sanctified or purified or perfect, a life of purification. They're doing a lot of things that are against the statutes, the rules, the regulations, the laws of God. But he says, now Jesus talked about they are in him, and this is what he says. "And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring it forth more fruit." So he's going to take away all the bad. You know how you break off the branches, of course, like in your flowers and that sort of thing. You kind of pruning it so that it can bring more branches into fruition or bring more fruit or that sort of nature. If you're a gardener, you know what I'm talking about, okay? So this is what he's saying that God is going to do. And this is for his people, okay? We got to understand that everybody that called themselves a Christian is not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus even said that everybody that say unto me, Lord, Lord, is not going to enter in because they're doing a lot of things. And what were some of the things he said? Do you feed the hungry? Are you looking after the widows, the fatherless children? Are you looking at those in prison? Have you clothed me? Those are sorts of things, the benevolence. Jesus is a giver. He believes in taking care of his people. He can't physically do it for us. That's why he uses people on earth to do it for him on his behalf, especially the church.
The church is a to orchestrate on the behalf of the Father, on the behalf of Jesus, how he will want things to resemble him. Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Okay? Now, ye are cleansed through the word which I have spoken unto you. Remember I was talking about how powerful the word is and understanding the word and learning the word and knowing how to operate the word in your life, making it a tool like keys. All these different concepts and principles that we learn in the Bible are keys to help us in life. If you look at it like that, so you take the key and it opens the door. It gives you access to things that you normally couldn't get because you understand and you know and you're applying the word. The key will open up the door to good health. He said, I won't allow the diseases of the Egyptians to fall on you. If you apply the word to say the healing, the words of healing, the words of restoration, the words of holiness, the words of wholeness, if you apply those words of your life, if you pray, if you read the word and you diligently apply faith to your life and healing, you will be healed of any disease that's considered diseases of the Egyptians. Abide in me. Stick with me is what the Lord is saying. I got the keys. I'm that living water. I'm the true vine. Oh, Lord. Hallelujah. And I in you. Allow the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, to rest in you, to reign in you, to walk in you. That's why you can't say certain things. That's why you have to shut your mouth. That's why you've got to listen. That's why you got to open your heart. That's why you got to reprocess that thing through your mind. Because the Spirit of the Lord is in you. And when the Spirit of the Lord is in you, you operate differently. Remember I talked about being whole, being a new creature? You're turning over a new leaven. Okay? And that's what we want to do each and every day of our lives. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. So what the Lord is saying, those people that are attempting to bear fruit on their own, those people that are attempting to go out there and preach and prophesy and prophesy, to say, all on their own, because they're not connected with Jesus, because they're not even operating like him. They're not operating in his laws. They're not operating in his principles. They're not operating in his doctrine, his belief system. Half of them telling people they can get to heaven. Remember I was talking about that? In other ways you can get to Jesus. Jesus never said that. He said, I am the door. Anybody else try to come any other way is a thief and a robber. But they're trying to come another way. And then he talks about these people, they're not connected to him. So you've got to have that connection. You cannot bear fruit of your own. There is a saying, priest-like people. That's the word of, that is in the word of God. Priest-like people means that, have you ever looked at somebody and you can say, oh, I know they act like, I know they from that church because you can tell how they act, whether that's good or bad. And sometimes it is good and sometimes it's definitely bad. And you say, and that's why family and friends and people can act alike because they're around each other all day. And then you have sometimes, it depends. It depends on the character of the person. Depends on their personality, things like that. So it cannot bear fruit of its own, okay, except it abide in the vine. That the vine is Jesus. No more can ye except ye abide in me. abiding and resting and operating in the principles and the purpose of what the Lord has called and commissioned you to do, that's where you want to be at. I am the vine. Jesus is the vine. Ye are the branches. Now, if you look at any branch, a vine can go really, really far, right? Like I told you, vine can spread far and wide because it's going each and everywhere. But a branch has limitations. And the vine is connected to the root, which the branch is not. It's just connected to the base or the vine, like he said, the vine. So it only can go so far, the branch, before it comes to an end. But the branch is still supposed to produce some fruit or some leaves or something, right? Some flowers, something. And if it doesn't, then it needs to be plucked up. He that abide in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. I think that every day in our lives, we should be encouraging or doing something productive. That's why I have that show, the other show I have, because we need to be doing something productive to help enhance the lives of others. And it doesn't matter what you do in life, long as you're doing something positive. And if you're a Christian, your life and your world should revolve around Jesus. It should revolve around God, what is pleasing in his sight. So when you do these things, it's going to bring happiness to the heart of the Lord, but it's also going to show your light in the world to others, your goodness, the things that you are doing, to show that you are a Christian, that you are doing the things that the Lord has commissioned and called you to do. You're supposed to be, he said, much fruit, not just a little fruit, but you should be bringing forth much fruit, okay? And when I say fruit, okay, I'm talking about there's so many ways that we can be productive. It's don't you know that your words are seeds? Your words that you speak to people can bring forth fruit. You don't have to it doesn't necessarily have to be a financial benevolence, okay? And I know that a lot of times we want to be givers, especially me. You want to give people something tangible. And sometimes you just don't have it to give everybody something tangible. But you can give somebody something with your words, because your words are seeds which will produce fruit in their life, because it's wisdom, because it's knowledge that they didn't have. And how do you gain that wisdom and knowledge? Through the word of God, through reading, through educating yourself with knowledge, books. I have a lot of books. I'm an advocate reader all the time with information, stuff that I don't just read books that's nonsense. I know there's books for entertainment out there, and I don't have nothing wrong with that. But I do believe that, as I always talk about, that you should be applying your mind to something positive. As they say, the idle mind is the devil's workshop. You don't want to have an idle mind. Do something productive with your mind, okay? So you can help produce the fruit in people's lives. Remember, we don't live on earth for ourselves. We are here on earth to help our fellow brother, sister, our neighbor, to be an encouragement to somebody else. And how you gonna encourage somebody when you always down? How you gonna encourage somebody when you always negative and you're always saying something that's not in a positive light, or you feel discouraged because of your situations? That's why you have to have faith and trust in God, and you have to build up your faith. You have to build up your own faith. You can't, you know, it's a lot of times, I know in times past, especially in rough pockets I have hit in my life, you want to get a word from somebody. But you know what? How I got it through those things, I didn't have anybody to turn to get a word. You know, I got it from the Word of God. Reading the Word of God, I got it through trusting God. I got it through those experiences in those times where I learned how to trust him. See? So here it says in 5, for without me ye do not, I apologize, for without me ye can do nothing. My tongue a little tied here because the hour is winding down on me. But I'm pressing my way, though. So he's saying, of course, you can't do nothing without him. That's why I say he's my life. He's my everything. And I know a lot of people feel like they're doing it without him. I know there's a lot of, I call them mad scientists, people that's so smart that they dumb because they think that they know it all and they don't know nothing without the Lord. It's people that sit down, 20 to 50 people at a table that got PhDs trying to figure out certain things and break down the Word of God. But you can't understand the Word of God if you don't have the Spirit of God that is within you, because it's the Spirit that brings forth revelational knowledge. And that's why they're still trying to figure out. They can't never figure it out. Because it's not worldly knowledge. It's the wisdom of God. It's the secret things. It's certain things that I would have never learned in school, but I learned through God, because he revealed them to me in the secrets. Secrets of in my dreams, he revealed things. So we've got to understand that there's privileges that come with being connected to Jesus. He allowed you to do things and go into places. Remember, I always talk about how favor is better than money. He allowed people to do things for you that would have never done for nobody else. But because you have the favor of God rested upon your life, the Lord says, yes, I will go beyond the call of duty for this one. Ha! Who can tell God who to favor? Who can tell God what kings to raise up and ones to pull down? Who can tell God who to set in position and not to set in position? How can you tell that to the man that say, I draw the heavens back like a curtain? I don't think so. As Jesus said, who can come a cubic of his statue? I think about God, how powerful he is. I tell you, I ain't got no words. So he says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them in the fire, and they burneth. So he's saying, you're good for nothing if you don't have me. What is life without me? Oh, help me, Lord. I know, it's nothing. If ye abide in me and my word abide in you. Remember I talked about, I'm going to go back again, how imperative it is to know the word of God. I have hidden the word in my heart that I might not sin against thee, O Lord. If you put this word down in you, I guarantee you it will start to orchestrate and demonstrate in your life. And those of you that saints, you know where I'm going. You know what I'm talking about. You know how he lead and guide you. You know how the Holy Spirit directs you. You know how he shows you things and tells you, no, don't do that, and give you that sound wisdom. Come on, don't we all need it? Amen. Okay. If ye abide in me, I'm at 7, and my word abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Isn't this something? How I talked about, see, I didn't read that far. How I talked about favor, I'm talking about before I was reading the text.
reviewing the text. I didn't get that far. But I was talking about how it's privileges and how the Lord said, I'll do that for this one. Because it's privileges and how he'll show you things and he will reveal things unto you because your life will be lined up with him. And he'll say, you know what, I got that for them. This is what he's saying. If you allow him to, if you allow his word to rest in you, and if you abide in him, he's saying, whatever you ask. Listen, I'm going to read to you again. Ye shall ask what you will, whatever you ask, and it shall be done unto you. That means I'm going to give it to you. Oh, Hananasiah. He said, I'm going to give it to you, but you got to believe. You got to trust me. You've got to abide in my word. You've got to let me, my word abide in you. We've got to be connected. It's nothing like being in a relationship and you don't have no chemistry. My Lord. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Remember, I talked about how at the end of the day, we want God the Father to get the glory and how Jesus honors him. This is what I'm talking about. It's all about God. It's all about God. It's all about doing the things that bring glory to him. When you bring much fruit, it makes him happy. So shall you be considered my disciples is what Jesus is saying here. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Because remember, the word brings forth love. It's going to start bubbling and orchestrating in your life. You're going to start to walk and demonstrating the things that the Lord has commissioned us to do. Even as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love, these things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. I'm going to stop right there because I could even go even further and further and further, but I just want to take time because I do want to pray before we close out here. It's all about abiding by the word of God and living up to his statutes and obeying his commandments. When we do those things, it brings about a change in our lives. And I'm just trying to tell you this to stay on top of the things that you're supposed to be doing that the Lord has commissioned us to do. It's so easy to fall to the wayside. We deal with different situations every day. We interact with different people all the time, and sometimes those can bring relationships that are full of conflict, and you don't want to allow those things to overcome you or succumb to you, and you want to make sure that what you are doing is pleasing in the sight of the Lord. So I want to take this time before I even pray to let you know that whatever you're going through or whatever you have been through, even within this past week, maybe even this weekend, that you can get through it and that the Lord is in control. He is the orchestra of your life. He's orchestrating your life. He's selling your ship. I promise you. He's driving your vehicle, but you have to give him permission to do it. He's not going to just take over and take charge just because he's God. He don't operate like that. That's why the Lord said, Peter, will you feed my sheep? Yes, Lord, do you love me? Will you feed my sheep? He asked him the question. I asked you this morning, will you allow the Lord to be the driver of your vehicle? I know we all want to be in control. I talk about it all the time. But we've got to learn sometimes to let the Lord take over and drive us in the right direction that we need to go. He's a good God. He will lead and guide us. I promise you. Let us pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us, Lord, of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all that which is evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Lord, we thank you for your word on this morning. We thank you for your word, God. And I ask that you minister to the hearts and the minds of your people. Let them know, God, that you are the true Jesus, that you are the true vine. And that your Father, our Father, is the husbandman. He owns it all. He's in control. And that, Lord, we want to be branches that will produce fruit and much of it. And in order for us to do that, God, we have to open up our hearts and our minds, and we have to be obedient. We have to obey your commandments and your statutes and rules and regulations that you have given unto us. We have to stick to your doctrine as never before in this evil day and time that we live in. And you told us, Lord, to abide in you, and you would abide in us. And as you abide, we shall be one, O Father. I ask you, God, as you pray for us, even before you left this earth, before you were crucified, you prayed to the Father on our behalf. I ask this day, Lord, that you would touch and lead and guide us, those that are your branches, God, Hanasa. Without you, you said if we cut off, if we do it on our own, we're nothing. So I ask, God, that you would help us. Help us the more to become more like you. Help us, Lord, the more to demonstrate, to do your will, your purpose, your plan, the things that you have given us. And even, Lord, I pray for those, Lord, that are battling in their body, in their strength. Lord, Lord, that are feeling sick in their body, things that have come up against them, even in their mind, Lord. People that are struggling, don't even know what direction to go in their life because they're perplexed by situation and circumstance, Lord. I'm asking, Lord, that you bring peace such as never before. Lord, I know that you're able to do it exceedingly abundantly above all that we could even ask or think. And I'm just asking, Father, that right now you allow the peace of God to reign in homes all over this world and in this nation. Lord, I ask those that are listening live to the broadcast that you would touch them even now, that the Holy Spirit will overshadow them even in their homes, Lord. Right now in the name of Jesus, that you will meet their needs, that you will touch their mind, that you will convert their hearts, that you will turn over a new leaf and a new leaven in them, oh Father, in the name of Jesus. And I'm just asking for the more for them, oh God, in their lives, the more for them that are listening by way, even those that are coming back listening to the broadcast, Lord, I'm praying for them, touch their mind. Those that have just tuned in from all over various parts of the world, Africa and India and Europe, oh Father, those that may even listen as far as the east coast of Japan, east of Japan, I pray, God. I'm asking you to touch and deliver. I'm asking, Lord, that you will set free and that you will break bounds and bring liberty unto your people, oh God. Every chain shall be broken. Every spirit that has overshadowed their mind will be broken free right now in the name of Jesus. And I thank you for what you're going to do and how you're going to do it. I thank you, God, because you're able to do it exceedingly abundantly above all that we could even ask or think, because you are God and our ways are not your ways, neither our thoughts are your thoughts, God, because your ways are much higher than ours. So I ask, Lord, that we grow leaps and bounds and that we are set free from the things that have kept us and held us captive. In the name of Jesus Christ, my precious Lord and Savior and your God, I pray for you on this morning, and I pray your strength. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, I love you. This is Pastor Prophetess Royal Point Sienna Sprewell, and you have tuned into the matters of the heart. And I love you by the grace of the Almighty God. This is your number one prophetess called to the nations for this generation, Royal Point Sienna Sprewell. I love you. You be blessed and have a wonderful and a blessed morning and good night.